Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Oh, we're live.
I didn't do it.
They are who we thought they were. And we left them off the hook.
I know what you want and what you're thinking.
Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, also myklgr.com. It is a Thursday today, so we'll talk a little Twins baseball with Brandon Warn, and we'll talk about the man, the myth, the legend, as the legend of Bartolo Colon continues to grow after a dominant performance last night. So we'll talk about that with Brandon coming up at about 3:35 or so. Also, the Minnesota Timberwolves debuted some of their new uniforms. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but that is the A topic with Dan Slabaugh tomorrow. So we're going to hold on to that for mostly tomorrow. Also, the PGA Championship underway, so we'll take a little bit of a look at the leaderboard as well. So all of that is coming up here on the show today. So why don't we get to it? We'll take a look at our top sports headlines here for today. And taking a look at our top sports headlines for Thursday, August 10th. The PGA Championship underway today. Jordan Spieth trying to set his sights on the career Grand Slam, as he is just one major away from owning all four major championships and still quite a career yet ahead of him. So we'll see if Spieth can finish it off here this weekend in what should be some rainy conditions on the course. Minnesota Timberwolves unveiled their new, well, some of their new uniforms today, and it's been met with a mixed response, as most fans have thought they're too plain. Some have liked the fact that they are more sharp, including myself. But we're going to talk extensively about that with Dan tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on the new uniforms for the Timberwolves. Bartolo Colon found the Fountain of Youth at Target Field last week in his start against the Texas Rangers with a complete game win. And he continued his recent stretch of good pitching with 7 scoreless innings last night against the Milwaukee Brewers, a team squarely in the playoff chase, and Colon able to silence them as the Twins win 4-0 to get back to 500. And it seems like maybe the Twins have found some steam here as they try to get back into the playoff race, with several other teams biting at the heels of the wild card leaders at this point. A major Minnesota decision being made this weekend as Trey Jones, brother of Tyus Jones, Apple Valley standout, has announced he will make his decision on where he is headed to play basketball on Sunday. The Gophers squarely in the mix with the recent success they've had with recruiting and also trying to duke it out, no pun intended, with Duke for the services of Trey Jones. So we should have a good idea of what his plans are when we come back on Monday after tomorrow's show. So we'll talk plenty about that on Monday. And Zach Randolph may have played his final game in the NBA as he was arrested for pot possession with intent to sell in Los Angeles. That is a felony charge, and if indeed Randolph is convicted, he could face a lifetime ban from the NBA, which would certainly be a shocking move. But that's the way the rules have been written up by the NBA, so can't feel too bad, I guess. But those are your top sports headlines here for today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the early leaderboard, the PGA Championship. That is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You hit that guy.
He shouldn't have been standing there.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the sports tab.
We're back here on The Scoop and the PGA Championship underway with some early leaders at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pretty decent conditions so far, but it sounds like things will start to get a little rainy over the next couple of days. Your early leader, Thorbjørn Olsen, at 4-under, shot a 67 in the first round of play, but plenty of players knocking on the door. Grayson Murray, Gary Woodland, Brooks Koepka, Chris Stroud, and Bud Cauley all at 3-under. Murray, Woodland, Koepka, and Stroud all finals at 68. Cauley is 3-under through 12. Then it's Tony Finau, Jim Herman, Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Byung Hyun An, and D.A. Points at 2-under. And after that, Hideki Matsuyama at 1-under, Louis Oosthuizen, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Graham McDowell, Ryan Fox, Ryan Moore, all at 1-under, among others. Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Steve Stricker, all at even par. Matt Kuchar, even par as well. Jordan Spieth started his day 1-over par. Sounds like he was 3-over at one point, but was able to pull closer at just 1-over par through his first round. Some other high scores. Justin Thomas, 2-over. Lee Westwood, 2-over. James Hahn at 2-over. And as we scroll through the rest of the leaderboard, Ian Poulter at 3-over par. John Daly, J.B. Holmes, Henrik Stenson, Xander Schauffele, Keegan Bradley are some of the names at 3-over par. And as I like to do, I like to keep going down to where I typically would shoot and see who is on par there. Vijay Singh, Sergio Garcia, Charlie Hoffman, all at 4-over par. Jonathan Vegas, Jimmy Walker at 4-over par as well. Then we get to 5-over par, and some of those names include Daniel Summerhays, Emiliano Grillo, Tomas Bjorn, Jason Duffner, who has won a couple tournaments this year, also at 5-over, Bubba Watson at 6-over par,
And trying to find the end of the list. Davis Love III at 7 over par. And 8 over par includes Padre Harrington. 9 over par includes Ernie Els. 10 over par, Adam Reynaud. 11 over par, Rich Beam, Ryan Vermeer. Scott Herbert is at 12 over par. And Stuart Dean shot an 84 today. I've done that before. Was 13 over par in his round today. I wouldn't be able to shoot 84 on that course. So regardless of where people end up, it's just kind of fun to see where you would stack up against some of the best to play the game. And, well, I'd be in a little bit of trouble. But needless to say, Olsen leading at the moment. And looking at some of these holes and some of the tougher holes, number one, and this was a combination of two holes that was meant to try to make the course more difficult. They combined a couple of short par threes into a monster par four, 524 yards. Average score on that hole, par four, is 4.42. So that is by far, actually, I take that back. That's one of the toughest holes. The toughest is actually hole two, which is a 452-yard par four. Average score there is 4.179. So that is certainly playing very tough. A lot of tough holes on this course, but number four, the par three, 184-yard, playing at an average score of 3.314. So there certainly have been plenty of good scores so far, but also plenty of not-so-good scores. So that is something that's going to play well into the weekend. We'll see who comes out on top when we wrap it up, or when we recap it on Monday. We're going to take another quick break. Wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about the Vikings game tonight against Buffalo. We'll take a look at some things to watch for tonight's game. That is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Just a bit outside.
On KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9. The latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, football is back. Minnesota Vikings take on the Buffalo Bills tonight at 6 o'clock in the first of their four preseason games. And here are some things that I want to see here tonight. Now, the starters aren't going to necessarily play a lot, maybe a series or so. And it's going to be interesting to see how they stack up against some very tough Baltimore defense. So my first area that I want to see is the Vikings offensive line against the Bills defensive line. There is certainly going to be a lot of tape on the Vikings after all the pressure that they gave up last year to try to get to Sam Bradford. So I want to see how the Vikings offensive line holds up. Now, will Riley Reiff be there? Who knows? So, will you have the entire offensive line? Probably not. But anyway, offensive line against the Bills defensive line is one of the areas I want to see. One of the others is Dalvin Cook. After taking a majority of the reps during training camp, I want to see how he stacks up as being given the chance to be the number one running back heading into the game. Now, again, caveat here, first preseason game, will they play all that much? Time will tell, but I would really like to see Cook do some special things out on the field here tonight. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, and honestly, I want to see this defensive line show what it can really do here this season. And that would be get after the quarterback and make life miserable for Tyra Taylor. The defensive line is going to do plenty of that this year, but I want to see a sign from them that they are ready to be an absolute force this year, similar to the Denver defense that won them the Super Bowl a couple years ago against Carolina. I'd like to see the defensive line take that sort of a step forward, but I want to see who gets the majority of the reps on first team next to Linval Joseph. Now, the defensive line is pretty well set with several of those other players, Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph. So I want to see who gets the start in that defensive tackle spot next to Linval and see if they can do something to help contribute to that defensive line. Also want to see what happens at weak side linebacker. You got Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks already penciled in. They will be the starters. But we don't really know who's going to be that third linebacker. So I want to see somebody get a chance there and see if they can do something with it in that first maybe series or so that the defense plays. Also want to see what happens with cornerbacks like Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander, what they do when they're on the field. So it's even for a preseason game, there's a lot going on and there will be a lot to keep an eye on here tonight. The Bills, not going to be one of those teams that blows you away offensively, although they do have a very, very good running game. I think one of the best, if not maybe the best, in the NFL last year. No surprise with LeSean McCoy and also Tyrod Taylor, who's a very mobile quarterback. So the defense is going to need to be on their toes in the action that they see in order to try to keep them in check. Anquan Boldin will be probably the biggest receiver that the Vikings will face, because I don't know if Sammy Watkins is going to play necessarily here in preseason game one. It'll also be pretty interesting to see what Sam Bradford does. From everything that I saw at training camp, Bradford looks like he is ready. And I think we saw a breakout from him last year, but he's ready to join that dominant level of quarterbacks if he can have a strong go at it here this year. So really looking forward to seeing how that plays out here as well tonight. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that third wide receiver spot. Laquon Treadwell has been at practice, hasn't necessarily participated, but Michael Floyd is there to take it, although he will be suspended the first four games of the year. So there will be a good chance for somebody else to step in, maybe if Treadwell's not ready to go. All of these are questions that you look at to try to figure out as the season progresses. So that's a few things that I'll be looking at here through tonight's preseason game. We'll, of course, talk all about it, a little bit about it tomorrow. We're going to save most of that for Monday with A.J. Mansour, who's back on a weekly basis here on The Scoop. So looking forward to that as well. So those are some things to watch here for tonight's preseason game, which again starts at 6, but we'll have more on that with What's on Deck later on. We're going to take a quick break for now, but when we come back, Brandon Warren will join the show, and that is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
On KLGR, 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Joined once again here today by Brandon Warren of Zone Coverage, talking a little Twins baseball. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. It's hanging in there. It's a little chilly, but other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a dose of early fall here in the early part of August, but the Twins certainly are playing like they want their season to continue. After a little bit of a rough stretch going into last week, now it seems like things have started to even out a little bit. And I don't think there's anybody that really spearheads that more than a guy who looked like he was on his last legs in the major leagues, that being Bartolo Colon. He had the complete game against Texas, and now 7 shutout innings against Milwaukee, a team who is right in the thick of the playoff race. He certainly looks like he has found some new legs here this year.
Yeah, just new life. And the funny thing is, it's not that 86, 88 mile per hour fastball that he's living with. It's more 90, 91, a couple 92s here in the last couple starts. And so I don't know what has reinvigorated him necessarily, but he did promise his mom that he wanted to pitch until he was 45. That means he would probably at least like to pitch another year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But he has looked really, really good until, you know, this last start. He had pitched better with each start moving forward. And again, it's a tough act to follow when you pitch a complete game. But 7 shutout innings might even be better than that. You know, he gave up 4 runs last time. So he just continues to get better, which is amazing the way he can turn back the clock at this point in his career.
As we take a little bit of a look back, I think the last time we talked was on Thursday the 27th, and the Twins have played since at Oakland, at San Diego. Then they had 4 at home against Texas, and then this series against the Brewers that they will finish up today. And it just in terms of a couple of those series didn't go the way that we would have hoped. Was that Oakland series maybe the most disappointing in that was a real chance for them to kind of get things rolling into the second half?
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't fair to evaluate this team based on how they played against the Dodgers, which I think is fair, you really got to make up ground when you play teams like Oakland and San Diego. And to go, I think it was 2-6 on that road swing was just not acceptable. And, you know, the guys got a little upset that the Twins decided not to go get pieces at the deadline and, in fact, sold off a couple. And I understand being upset about that, but at the same time, you have to be realistic about your chances. And understand, too, that, you know, a closer is not really make or break for your season. And if it is, then you're pegging your chances on something that's way too volatile. And you know what? In the meantime, Matt Belisle has done a nice job. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe in August we'll see the Twins pick up a player or two here to boost their chances on the cheaper prices that we see this month. But more or less, I just think they've been, you know, they've been playing much better of late. Texas series, you know, would have been nice to get more than a split. But this Brewers series especially has been some pretty good baseball.
You mentioned a couple of trades that the Twins did make before the deadline. They took Jaime Garcia, who they acquired. He got his 1 start against Oakland, and then they flipped him to New York. And then also trading Brandon Kinsler on deadline day, a few minutes before the deadline, to Washington. In terms of the haul that the Twins were able to get back, which one intrigues you most?
Well, I think the Yankees won, and we're going to get to find out about that one pretty soon here with Dietrich Enns making the start tonight in Milwaukee. Got the call up this morning. And so, you know, it's a couple interesting pitchers. Zach Littell, I'm not sure how you say it, he's kind of interesting. He's the 22nd best prospect, I think it was, in the Yankee system, which is a pretty stacked system. So a couple interesting arms from that one. I think that one's just more intriguing because there was just more that came back. With that said, I think that, you know, the lefty they got for Brandon Kinsler is also interesting as well. I think it's Watson is his last name, I believe. Maybe I'm misspeaking there. But, you know, they've got some interesting guys in each trade. I just think you got to take the one where they got 2 arms. But, again, too, in a farm system where they're constantly churning through arms to try to see what they can get, I think it made sense to flip a couple guys that were probably not going to be back anyway.
Brandon, another new face in this bullpen, and it's a guy that we certainly are familiar with. He had an opt-out date. I'm not sure what date that was, but Dylan G ended up getting called up, and he looked pretty darn good on Tuesday night against Milwaukee, and through 2 outings, I think something like 7 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts. So in terms of Dylan G, do you see him being a guy that can stick in the bullpen and maybe even be a spot starter for the Twins?
Yeah, I think they like him as kind of a swingman type, and he's reunited with Jeremy Hefner, who's the Twins' video scout. They were teammates with the Mets, so that's kind of a cool story. I know Mike Berardino wrote that for the paper, I think, yesterday. But, yeah, he just seems to have more life on his pitches. He was getting swinging strikes on fastballs in the low 90s. So I don't know if that's a spin rate thing or a location thing or what exactly, but he definitely looks like he could fit out of the bullpen. You know, as a starter, he was up and down with the Mets. He was good at times and then just kind of average at times. And he really didn't have a very nice year with the Royals last year. Then he had the thoracic outlet surgery that we're becoming all too familiar with. But, man, he's looked pretty good so far out of the pen. I think they like him as a long guy, which there's no shortage of candidates for that, whether it's Hector Santiago coming off the DL or guys like Nick Turley or Tim Melville in AAA. But for now, I think he's got the spot locked down, and he's doing a really great job.
Seen quite a power surge over the past couple of games, and in particular, Eddie Rosario, who I know is somebody that you have been taking a close look at here throughout the season, and just seems like a guy that, you know, his big thing was that he wasn't able to stay off pitches that weren't in the strike zone. And at least so far this year, he seems like he really has cut down on those swings outside the zone, which has in turn made his production a lot better.
Yeah, you know, I talked to James Rowson about that, and he's still not a finished product, and he still has those at-bats where a guy will walk in front of him, and then he'll swing at a pitch at his eyes and pop up to third base or something. But at the same time, too, he's just been more productive. He's got, I think, almost a 2x walk rate from what he had last year. And, you know, again, with a guy with this kind of physical talent, you don't need perfection. You just need to move closer to where you're not getting yourself out. I mean, he hits the ball hard to all fields. He's obviously a very gifted player in terms of making contact on anything he swings at. And it was just a matter of kind of refining him. And what Rowson told me was that he and Eddie and even Rudy Hernandez, the assistant hitting coach, through their practice sessions, they will give him pitches in and out of the strike zone to differentiate different pitches he sees to make sure that he's not just getting into his own work, swing, swing, swing. And so far, I think they've reaped the rewards of that.
Jorge Polanco's had a bit of an interesting season. He started off, was doing relatively well. Then it seemed like his bat disappeared. His defense started to struggle a little bit. But now it seems like he's kind of calmed things down a little bit and is starting to show flashes of what we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you know, he was too physically gifted to keep playing like that all season long. Hits the ball in the air and walks. He doesn't strike out. I just think it was a funk that he just couldn't get out of, and he just kind of couldn't get out of his own way. So I think that he was just too good to keep playing like he had. I hope it wasn't, you know, part of, you know, losing his grandfather, who I know was instrumental in raising him, that kind of spearheaded that funk. But whatever it was, he seems to be getting out of it and solidifying himself as the starting shortstop.
Looking ahead here on the schedule after the Milwaukee game tonight, then three at Detroit, followed by a six-game homestand against Cleveland and Arizona. Cleveland made another all-in move, acquiring Jay Bruce. In terms of against Detroit, who has sold some but not all of their parts, pretty important for the Twins to sweep, no doubt. But looking at the matchups, do you like their chances?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, either way, it was going to be Barrios and Santana, but I think they wanted to push back Gibson to give him a shot against them as well. He pitches really well on the road, or at least relatively speaking, he's been better on the road this year. And, you know, he just looked better of late. I think they thought that Enns might be a better matchup for the Brewers with, you know, Eric Thames and a couple other lefty hitters. So I'm not sure exactly what else went into that. But, you know, you'll take your chances against a Tigers team that's pretty much packed it in for the season. They're probably going to try to find a way to move Ian Kinsler at some point. They'd like to move Victor Martinez if they could, but he's just got no takers. Just has really, really struggled this year and has still too much money left on that deal. But, yeah, other than Michael Fulmer, who I don't even think is going to be ready to pitch again, I think he's on the disabled list, you know, you're not going to see much in the way of pitching outside of Justin Verlander, who will, I believe, probably line up to start in that series. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Who knows? Maybe Verlander will be traded by then.
It certainly could happen. We see a lot of, I think maybe even more than people give credit for, we see a lot of trades happen in August, and obviously Jay Bruce headed away from the Mets to the Cleveland Indians. And this New York team, I mean, the Mets have seemingly continued to be the Mets with giving away whatever they can get away, I guess. But interesting that Cleveland won in essentially a bidding war against the Yankees. simply because Cleveland was willing to take on more of the salary, I believe, for Bruce.
Yeah, such a weird dynamic that we're living in here, where two New York teams are worried about salary, and it's just strange because the Yankees also had the Twins pay Jaime Garcia's salary, so they're probably trying to stay under that luxury tax, whether it's to bring back Tanaka or go sign someone else. I don't know what their plan is, but they have to keep their salary down for a little bit to get out of those penalties. But yeah, it's kind of amazing how that's happened. And, you know, with Michael Brantley going down, and hopefully he can get healthy again, but it's been a battle for him. They needed another bat out in the outfield. And so, you know what, props to Cleveland for knowing that this is kind of their chance to dive in and really bury the Twins, the Royals. Obviously the Tigers and White Sox are already pretty much buried, but this is their chance to solidify their standing the rest of the way and, you know, try to get back to the World Series.
Well, and whoever in the American League goes to the World Series, they're going to have a tough time against that Dodgers team. My goodness. In terms of stacking them up against some of those great Yankees teams and, of course, the Mariners team that won 116 games, just how difficult is it for the Dodgers to get to the point where they're at right now, where they basically have no flaw at any point on their roster?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have a stacked farm system and you supplement from the outside and you have good player development and you have limitless resources in pretty much any way you can imagine. But beyond that, too, keep in mind they've got some pretty great talent in their front office, whether it's Gabe Kapler, who is kind of at the forefront of player development as far as what people think is kind of the new in vogue way to train players. And they do everything the right way. There's no shortcuts, even when you have money, to getting to where they've gotten. And it's just amazing what they've been capable of. And now what impresses me is that the Twins stole Jeff Pickler from that organization. And so I think that's a good move. Anytime you can steal talent from organizations that do it the right way, that's a good thing. And also, too, if the Nationals make it to the World Series, that's not a team anybody can overlook either. So the National League is pretty stacked this year. And don't forget about that team that won it last year. Who is that again?
that might have been that other Chicago team. I mean, you got them starting to try to pick it up. You've got Arizona's been an extremely intriguing team, too. So the National League in Major League Baseball is what the Western Conference is in NBA.
Imagine trying to be the Diamondbacks or the Rockies or maybe like the Cardinals. I don't know who else. Imagine trying to be one of those teams getting out of the National League this year. Forget about it.
No, it's not possible. Especially, I just imagine the reaction to all those teams that felt like, hey, we've got a pretty good shot to make a little noise in the playoffs. And then, oh, by the way, the Dodgers went and grabbed Yu Darvish. Good luck.
Yeah, and I think that was a great insurance policy in case Alex Wood, Rich Hill, or Clayton Kershaw get hurt. But if all four of those guys are healthy, it's lights out.
Yeah, it's good night. And it's thanks for playing pretty much for the rest of the American League.
Yep. But, sorry, but not sorry.
Yeah, but they play the games because fluky things happen, so mm-hmm. we'll still have the playoffs regardless. Brandon, as we kind of move back to just some regular normal baseball topics, I found it weird, this whole Joe West situation, that he makes these comments about Adrian Beltre, and this doesn't seem like something that in the past would have warranted a suspension, but I think it shows just kind of where this climate is with umpires, that they're really being put under a microscope with the amount of contested calls. And really, I was pretty shocked that Joe West got any sort of retribution for that, those comments he made.
Yeah, you know, I know Beltre wasn't really bothered about it, but at the same time, too, you know, we live in an environment in baseball, or we view that environment as, you know, umpires being subject to scrutiny, and honestly, if you criticize the umpires, you get suspended, you get fined. Yeah, they keep the umpires, like, hidden away in the stadium. You don't really get to talk to them. They're kind of hush-hush and kept hidden away. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they're going to protect the umpires like that, both from scrutiny from the players and all that, it probably has to go both ways. And so even though Beltre wasn't offended by it, you know, what if Beltre wasn't a 20-year veteran in the big leagues or have 3,000 hits? You know, those kind of comments could bury a younger player. So yeah. I think it's just a good precedent to set where umpires cannot be unbiased. They can't give any sort of Or they can't be biased, rather. They can't give out any sort of even semi-relevant vibe that they have any form of bias whatsoever. So, you know, as much as it might be that Joe West is kind of a controversial, you know, a lightning rod, I think they just kind of had to set an example that we can't have our umpires talking like this, even if it's not that offensive.
Yeah, that's a very, very good way to put it. Final question here for you. In regards to these nickname jerseys that Major League Baseball has put together for Players Weekend, and I had a chance to go through the ones that the Twins will wear, and I found it interesting. I know I saw you tweeted about this as well. There were some wide-ranging nicknames used, but then there were some that that chose to just go with the more traditional look.
Yeah, what was it? I think Joe Mauer, which is probably the least surprising thing ever. Ryan Pressly, Robbie Grossman, and I know there was one other one, maybe Taylor Rogers. I don't remember. Exactly,
I think it was Rogers.
Yeah. All of those are pretty straight-laced guys who, when I've talked to them, you just kind of know that's who they are. And so none of those names surprised me whatsoever. But then, I don't know, I think Jorge Polanco is pimp in Spanish. So I don't know if big leaguers have ever had to take a college class of Spanish where you use Google Translate. But yes, guys, Google Translate exists. We know what these things say. So I do respect, though, Max Kepler is using the last name Rozicki. That's his father's last name and a name he went by when he was younger. So some guys are having some fun with it. Some guys are staying pretty close to the vest. But it also is a good opportunity to use, you know, names that mean a lot to you. So it's a cool idea, and I have no problem with it.
I think it's great. I just was surprised that Bartolo Colon didn't go with Big Sexy, but we can't.
I mean, is he aware that that's his nickname? I wonder.
You know, that's a good question. He may not even be aware that that's kind of his moniker in Major League Baseball. I think he went with Magic? Something.
Nope, that was Irvin Santana.
Oh, that was with Santana. Okay.
He went with a different Hispanic last name or something like that, and people were like, wait, what? And so, kind of weird given his backstory of having a secret family, but I digress.
Well, yeah, to each their own, and I think it's a great gesture by Major League Baseball, because all that's put into wearing the uniform, this is a nice way to allow the players to just kind of have some fun with it. So I think it's a great new thing that that fans will love as well.
Yeah, and maybe they can do something with charity where they sell those jerseys or something. I don't know. I doubt they will, but it's just an idea. We'll see what happens.
Hey, that would be great. Brandon, good stuff again here this week. We'll see if the Twins can finish off that sweep of the Brewers here tonight, and then we'll see how they do in the next couple series when we talk again next week.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe there'll be 2-3 games over 500 by then.
Fingers crossed. Brandon, thanks. Have a great week.
You got it. You too.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You cannot be serious!
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Taking a look at what's on deck here for tonight, starting off in the WNBA, San Antonio is at Chicago at 7 o'clock. Phoenix is at Dallas at 7 o'clock tonight. Major League Baseball, a couple finals in the books. Cincinnati beat San Diego 10-3. Pittsburgh beat Detroit 7-5. Miami's at Washington tonight at 6:05. The New York Mets at Philadelphia at 6:05. The New York Yankees at Toronto at 6:07. Cleveland is at Tampa Bay at 6:10. Kansas City's at St. Louis at 6:15. Houston is at the Chicago White Sox at 7:10. Minnesota at Milwaukee at 7:10. Final game of that four-game home-and-home series. Dietrich Enns getting the start against Zach Davies. Enns was acquired in the Jaime Garcia trade that Brandon mentioned. Los Angeles Dodgers at Arizona at 8:40. Yu Darvish gets his second start with the Dodgers. Baltimore at Oakland at 9:05, Wade Miley against Chris Smith, and the Los Angeles Angels at Seattle at 9:10. It'll be Tyler Skaggs against James Paxton. We've got football now, so let's take a look at the games going on here tonight. One game from yesterday, Carolina beat Houston 27-17. Atlanta taking on Miami at 6 o'clock tonight. Minnesota at Buffalo at 6. Washington at Baltimore at 6:30. Jacksonville at New England at 6:30. The New Orleans Saints at Cleveland at 7. Philadelphia's at Green Bay at 7 o'clock. Denver at Chicago at 7. So that is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. It's time once again for us to wrap it up for another edition of The Scoop.
See you tomorrow
That does it for this edition of The Scoop. A big thank you to Brandon Warren for stopping by to provide his usual great Twins coverage. Make sure to check out some of his work over at Zone Coverage when you get a chance. Brandon always does great work. We're going to talk Timberwolves basketball tomorrow as the Timberwolves have unveiled their new jerseys. And we'll talk maybe a little Andrew Wiggins as well with Dan Slabaugh on tomorrow's show. Also, plenty to recap with the PGA Championship. Hey, maybe the Twins will get the sweep over the Brewers. And, of course, we got that Vikings game tonight, so we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow as well. So it should be a jam-packed show. Make sure to tune in for it tomorrow on The Scoop. If you missed any portion of today's show, or if you want to take a listen to yesterday's show, which is now up, myklgr.com/thescoop is where you want to go. Until tomorrow, have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you again at 3:05.
KLGR 1490 AM and 95.9 FM is radio you can depend on. KLGR Redwood Falls. K240 DJ Redwood Falls. Streaming online at myklgr.com and the TuneIn Radio app.